Hello, novelists and novelistas. Welcome to Mile 8 of Novel Marathon. I'm late publishing this episode, so this week you'll get a double feature, Mile 8 and Mile 9, published back to back. Please enjoy at your own pace. First, a little about this show. It's called Novel Marathon because a marathon has 26 miles and this podcast is going to have 26 episodes published over the course of a year. You can expect a new one roughly every 2 weeks. During that time, we'll write the first draft of an 80,000-word novel. We'll be reading three craft books, The One-Year Novelist by L.M. Lilly, Story Genius by Lisa Cron, and This Year You Write Your Novel by Walter Mosley. The show is a self-directed bi-weekly class, and like any class, there will be exercises and readings, which we'll discuss in each episode. You'll find details in the show notes. I recommend you get the books, but I'll revisit the main ideas and exercises on the show, so in a pinch, you can follow along and get the gist of it just by listening to the podcast. I'm the undercover novelist. Like you, my goal is to complete a novel in a year. I'll be your cheerleader and pacemaker for this long-distance race. Friends, you made it to mile 8. First, let's talk about how far we've come and where we're going. The suggested readings for today were chapters 13 and 14 of The One-Year Novelist and pages 65 to 68 of This Year You Write Your Novel. For next time, we're going to tackle chapters 15 and 16 in The One-Year Novelist and chapters 10, 11, and 15 of Story Genius. And remember, everyone has to run a marathon at their own pace. So, if you're new to the show or you need to catch up, just start with episode 1 or go back to the episode where you left off, do the readings listed in the show notes, complete the writing prompts, and jog along at your own pace. In this marathon, all that matters is that you keep going and you finish, not how long it took you to get there. And with that, let's recap. Chapter 13 of The One-Year Novelist marks the beginning of writing your novel. Since we last spoke, the goal was to write an average of 533 words per day, 5 times per week. You were supposed to write towards the story spark, which is the moment something happens which shocks your protagonist out of their comfort zone and sets the story in motion. Chapter 14 continued on that same path, writing 533 words per day, at least 5 times per week. By now you might have several thousand words written. Somewhere within the first 5,000 words or so should be the story spark, when something happens that upends the status quo and forces your protagonist to take action. Pages 65 to 68 of This Year You Write Your Novel was also about beginnings. Walter Mosley talked about the importance writers place on the opening paragraphs of a novel, and how it's important to remind ourselves that we're just writing a draft. Drafts are imperfect by definition. They are not the final version. So, the only thing that matters is to begin and to keep going. You'll end up rewriting your first pages anyway, so there's really no use agonizing. Rather, embrace the imperfection and just get started. Next, let's talk about the suggested reading for next time, chapters 15 and 16 of The One-Year Novelist. Chapter 15 talks about character development, and there are some exercises in that chapter, but tell you what, let's come back to those later. Chapter 16 asks you to do another check-in with your three trusted peeps. Let them know how you're doing. Are you managing to write roughly 2,600 words per week? If you've been writing since the last episode, published a few weeks ago, you might already have several thousand words written. If you're a little behind, that's okay. There's a catch-up week coming up. And if you're ahead, great! You're banking words for the future. And that, my friends, brings us to the extra credit reading, chapters 10, 11, and 15 of Story Genius. Last time, we talked about scene cards and how important they are for capturing both the external action in a scene and what's going on internally, inside your protagonist's mind. I'm going to include a link to a simple word template for a scene card in the newsletter. You can sign up for it by going to novelmarathon.com/newsletter, and I'll send you a link to the template, as well as a list of readings we discussed today. Let's think back to chapter 9 of Story Genius. It culminated in filling out a scene card and writing the opening scene of your novel. Since then, you have been churning out 2,600 words or so per week. And maybe it's going swimmingly for you. As for myself, the transition from writing opening scenes to turning points to midpoints to endings left me feeling a little unmoored. It felt like I was just jumping around in my story as opposed to buckling down and writing a cohesive narrative where each scene builds on the previous one. If you ran into similar issues, let me tell you. Chapters 10, 11, and 15 in Story Genius might just be what you need in order to ground yourself again in your story, go beyond the first few pages, and write subsequent chapters that really get the beginning of your novel off to a strong start. Paradoxically, chapter 10 is about endings. Yes, you heard that correctly. We barely started writing our books, and we're already talking about endings. The reason is simple. If you know your ending, then you know where you're going. To quote National Book Award winner Joyce Carol Oates, "I always know what the end is and where I'm going. I'd never just sit down and start writing. That would be like getting in a car and just driving with no idea where you're going. No serious writer would write like that." Lisa Kron goes into a number of examples of books where the ending is foreshadowed in the first paragraph. Take, for example, the second paragraph of A.S.A. Harrison's thriller, The Silent Wife, which gives a perfect preview of what Jody, the protagonist, is in for. Let me read it for you. At 45, Jody still sees herself as a young woman. She does not have her eye on the future, but lives very much in the moment, keeping her focus on the everyday. She assumes, without having thought about it, that things will go on indefinitely, in their imperfect yet entirely acceptable way. In other words, she is deeply unaware that her life is now peaking, that her youthful resilience, which her 20-year marriage to Todd Gilbert has been slowly eroding, is approaching a final stage of disintegration, that her notions about who she is and how she ought to conduct herself are far less stable than she supposes, given that a few short months are all it will take to make a killer out of her. You see how the ending is right there in the second paragraph of the book? It's far from a bad thing to know and let others know where you're going. If anything, it sparks curiosity in the reader and builds tension. Lisa Kron also talks about the difference between your protagonist's aha moment and the physical ending of the book. Usually, the aha moment or the defining realization that the main character has, the one that lets them overcome their misbelief, actually occurs before the last page of the book. It is this realization that arms your protagonist with the tools to bring the story to a close. At the end of the day, we don't care so much about what happens at the end of the story. We care about what it means to the protagonist. Your job is to keep your eyes on the prize and make sure that you are not just mechanically wrapping up the story, but that you are telling it us through the eyes of the protagonist, always reflecting on what it means to him or her. As you already know, you have a few basic options for ending the book. Either the protagonist achieves their goal or they don't. If they don't, perhaps they have an insight that makes achieving the goal less important. In other words, they've changed, and they finally confronted, perhaps even overcome, their misbelief. You probably guess where this is going. Your assignment is to sketch out the aha moment for your protagonist, complete with a scene card that explains what happens externally in the scene and what changes internally for the protagonist. What is the key moment when your protagonist manages to overcome their disbelief? From that point onwards, it's all falling action, because the real drama, the moment of change in your main character, has already occurred. If you want to see an example of what this looks like, read through the exercise on page 177 in Story Genius. You can see the completed scene card on page 178 and the full scene starting on page 179. Chapter 11 of Story Genius, then dives deeper into scene cards, scenes, folders, and how to keep your project organized. Lisa Kron's recommendation is to have a folder for your characters and their bios, a list of ideas for scenes, a folder for random scene cards that you're not yet sure about where they might end up in your story, a folder for the scene cards that have found a place in your story, and of course, a folder with the completed scenes. Let's go through those in detail. The folder for your characters is where you keep track of all your major and minor characters with little bios for each person. The list of ideas for scenes is just that, a simple list where you jot down an idea for a scene whenever the mood strikes. The random scene cards folder is for those ideas that have graduated from the initial idea list to being a scene card with the external action and why it matters to the protagonist internally fleshed out, but you haven't yet figured out where exactly that scene card goes in your narrative. For that, you have the scene card folder. That's the folder that contains the scene cards that are definitely part of your story in chronological order. And finally, you have the folder with your scenes, fully fleshed out prose in the order in which they occur in the book. If you have that structure set up, you're now in a position to go back and forth between sketching out scene cards, which clearly state why the events on the card matter to your protagonist, and the writing of the actual scenes. It's this very process of going back and forth between constructing the logic of the story on your scene cards and then writing the actual prose that makes your book come to life. This is what Lisa Kron means when she talks about blueprinting your novel. And as I mentioned earlier, after all the jumping around we have done in previous weeks between story spark and one quarter twist and midpoint and three quarter turn and ending, I found it really grounding to go back and sketch out a few sequential scenes and writing them in order, which is exactly what Lisa Kron expertly demonstrates in chapter 15 of Story Genius. She first shows you how the first five scenes of a book start their life as scene cards and how they are then translated into fully fleshed out scenes. If you work through these chapters, 10, 11, and 15, and do the writing prompts, you should be well on your way to having a really solid start to your novel. And that's it for today. As always, suggested readings can be found in the episode description and in the newsletter. You can subscribe to the mailing list by going to the website novelmarathon.com/newsletter. I'll send you an email with this week's chapters when the show comes out, plus any resources mentioned on the show, including the scene card template. If you find this podcast useful and it's helping you with your work in progress, consider leaving a rating or review. It's one of the best ways you can support the show. Thanks a lot. I really, really appreciate it. Next time, as promised, we'll talk more about character development. I'm the Undercover Novelist, and this was Mile 8 of Novel Marathon. Happy reading, happy writing, and I'll talk to you soon.